I'd like to read a word of scripture before Rose and I pray together from Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Let's pray. Shall we kneel? Father in heaven, Rose, kneel before you this evening. Out of our awareness that unless you're present and blessing, much time will have been wasted.
Lord, you know the plans you have this evening, and I just want to ask that your spirit will move freely among us. I really believe that it's for such a time as this. You have a message for at least somebody here tonight, and I pray that every person will receive your message for them. Guide us now. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. It's a privilege to be here this evening. I've heard much about Advent Hope, and you play, I think, quite a ministry from right here at Loma Linda to all the rest of us in the rest of the country. And so it's a privilege to be here. And I'm not here to suggest that we have any secrets in and of ourselves. We're just going to share what God seems to have done in our own experience that is quite instructive. And then look at what the scripture says on the same subject, and then share some other things that we feel will be helpful. And so in terms of the schedule, and you notice the title, Finding God's Needle in God's Haystack. For those of you that are single and looking, would you like to believe that God can find you that person who is truly suited to whatever you've been called to? And that you'd have a really good marriage. I think good marriages should be the rule, not the exception, in the Adventist Church. Now, I will freely confess, I've been married and it didn't work out. I got what I asked for. That's not a negative, that's not throwing stone, not aspersions. But the second time around, I literally remember meeting two students of mine. I was teaching the seminary. And they asked me the question, they said, Dan, what's new in your life? We'd been talking for a while. And I said, I'm getting married in August. They said, hold on. How did you keep the secret so long? And I responded and said, actually, I just found out myself. I know that seems surreal, crazy, and it is. And I do not necessarily recommend what happened for us as the norm for anyone else. But we're going to show you some substance to help you understand how I can make that kind of statement. But what I will tell you is, we've had an amazing marriage. Truly. She is my best friend. She's my ministry partner. She lived far away from me. And somehow God brought us together. And God was merciful to me in that Dan was clueless most of the time. That was a mercy. Trust me. So this evening we want to talk about finding God's needle in God's haystack. Because you do not know who is that needle. Nor do you necessarily know where to find that individual. Listen to me carefully. You're looking for the person that God has prepared for you. And God knows who that person is and where you will find that person. And many, in seeking to find something on their own, discover later they really needed God's wisdom instead of their own. Because from the hour of marriage, many date their success or failure. Please do not minimize that. Please do not minimize that. But marriage is that strange thing which is either the best or the worst. Did you hear me? You know? And if you're not going to be happily married, trust me, you'd rather be single. Did you hear me? So, I'm in favor of marriage. So, tonight we're talking about finding God's needle in God's haystack. Sabbath morning is a study from the Bible on guidance. Let her be the one from the story of Eliezer searching for a wife for Isaac, and finally, principles for a God-blessed marriage. And I don't know if you realize how much Ellen White speaks of principles. If you look in her writings, there's around 19,000 quotations where she speaks of principles. Did you know that? And she makes a statement that was dramatic where she says, men scheme, but God plants a principle. That's a huge statement. I don't know if you understand the profundity of that, but we scheme, we devise, but God plants certain principles. And if we follow his principles, we will succeed. So we're talking about the God-arranged marriage. We'll look at the Bible, the spirit of prophecy. We have a handout that I believe has been handed out to you folks, or will be. That's for you to study on your own. And then we have a website called Disciple Heart, and there is a QR code, which I will show you right there. And you can take a picture of that, because there are more resources there that would be very helpful. And so we want to talk about finding God's needle in a haystack. And just to give you some background, Rose was a Bible worker before, living 14 hours away from me, and I had a ministry that took me many places, and I didn't think anyone would want to marry me with what I did. But somehow God knew she was the one. So there's the verse, but here's the statement that we want you to think about as well. Marriage is something that will influence and affect your life both in this world and in the world to come. A sincere Christian will not advance his plan in this direction without the knowledge that God approves his course. Did you hear me? You will not want to advance your plans without knowing that God approves your course. He will not want to, listen to this, he will not want to choose for himself or herself, but will feel that God must choose for him or her. What do you think about that? You know, there's some things we're willing to let God make a choice on, but when it comes to that, most of us say, hold on, hold on. And it's not. And it's a really big question. To what degree do you trust God? To what degree do you trust God? I suspect that in some areas in our lives, we don't really trust him very much. That's just being honest. And so tonight, we're going to challenge you. We're going to challenge you. She says, we are not to please ourselves, for Christ pleased not himself. I would not be understood to mean that anyone is to marry one whom he does not love. This would be sin. But fancy and the emotional nature must not be allowed to lead on to ruin. God requires the whole heart, the supreme affections. So I won't say any more than that tonight. I was going to share a story about some missionaries in South Africa. But I think I will turn the time over to Rose. The story is an amazing story. I was clueless most of the time. But if you wonder if God can intervene in specific mind-boggling ways, you're going to hear a story tonight that you will never forget. And I hope you have the courage to say, God, I've been looking, maybe I need to trust you more. So Rose, please come forward and I'll give you the time. Part of it, because she doesn't need this. So I'll just put it aside.
Good evening. I just need to pray again. Heavenly Father, this really is your story. And I just pray that you'll take me back over the years and bring it forth your way tonight. Thank you, my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, you know, I keep remembering this part tonight, suddenly when I'm sitting here, is back, and I don't even know if Dan realizes this, but I was doing task force work at an academy, and I'd finished already my undergraduate, but I didn't know where I was going next, and I was thinking about graduate school. But my undergraduate was family and consumer science, which is like the newer term for home ec. And there's not a whole lot of graduate programs in the United States. There's not any in the Adventist Church that I know of. But so I was thinking about that. And then I was deciding, I had just decided not to go to graduate school. And I was going to go back and student teach. And then I was talking to my sister one day. She was at Andrews. And she kept trying to convince me at different times, Rose, come to Andrews, come to Andrews. I already had my degree and stuff, and it didn't seem like Andrews had anything to offer for me. But I did have a minor in religion, and she just kept saying, come to Andrews. So one day, she was like, something about, come to Andrews and meet someone. And I was just like, I wasn't wanting to go to like a school just so I could meet someone necessarily, but God did have a plan. And I ended up calling the admissions office and asked, or something like that, and I asked about going to get a second bachelor's degree, but get a degree in religion. And the man that was talking with me is like, I think you want to talk to seminary. I was like, no, no, no. And I said, anyways, and he said, I think you want to talk to seminary and transfer me to seminary. Long story short, I ended up at seminary. And I wasn't looking for that, but I believe God led. So having said that, I was a person that believed much in prayer. And I was asked to share about an answer to prayer at a Sabbath school. And it seems that I remember, oh, let me back up just one more moment. But one day I was walking on campus, and I remember seeing at a distance this person pass by, Dan Augsburger. And he was wearing this trench coat, and I just watched him. And my first thoughts were along the lines of, I guess I wondered if he was married, and I thought he must be married. He wasn't. But I thought it at the time, and it's also the Lord spoke to my heart and said, he has a lot on his mind, he doesn't have time for details. And I'll tell you, it's funny, I'm highly detailed, and he's not. And it's like the Lord was preparing me for that. But having said that, I was walking another day on campus after I'd shared in the Sabbath school about an answer to prayer, and I turned around, and here's Dan walking up behind me on the sidewalk, and I'm thinking he's just going to pass me by. And he slowed down, and he walked with me. And he was sharing about how he's interested in answers to prayer, and how he heard me share. And in the course of the conversation, I let him know that I'm at seminary, and he asked me if I knew his dad, and so that's how I learned his last name. I did not know him, and so he also asked me. He looked down at me at one point and said something about, "So do you preach?" And I was like trying to explain that I was looking to be a Bible teacher, whatever. I didn't have much experience, and he said, he looked down. He said something about, "But you will if God wants you to," and that hit me to the core. And I just kind of nodded, and I said, I will if God wants me to. And then he said, well, I need to be going. Maybe I'll talk to you some other time. And that was in 1999, probably in spring of 99. And that conversation was so striking. I went back to my room, and I called a girlfriend of mine. I said, I just had this conversation. And she said, I think that's Dan Augsburger. And so a while goes by, and I was working at Apple Valley, which is like the market there, and I was working as a cashier. And one day in 2000, he comes into the store, and I see him, and I follow him with my eyes, and I pray, Lord, please let him come through my line. And he came through my line. That was an answer to prayer. And I looked up at him, and I thought, I'm going to marry you. And then I thought, someday. It's almost like the Lord put in my heart that this was not going to happen right away. This was in 2000. And I'll just tell you, we got married August of 2012. So now I have to tell you the story really quickly. And so he came through my line at least two times, but I want to say it was one other time but there might have been someone that maybe was looking like him, but there was a person that came through my line at least a second time, and I think it was Dan, but I won't say 100%. And I, just prior to this second experience and stuff, I was taking a class from his dad, just a two-week intensive, so it just fell at all this at this time. And I remember standing next to his dad, who was sitting down in a student desk, and I looked down at his dad, and I thought, I'm going to marry your son someday. And then I thought, should I tell you out loud? And I thought, no. You know? And The interesting thing is I couldn't have even told you if Dan was married at this point. I know that sounds crazy, but this is how strong this was. And I continue work. Oh, so I'm at the store working one day, and this happens, and I'm really kind of struggling now, because after having the class with his dad, I realize there's an age difference that's greater than I think, because his dad's telling a story of World War II, and at that time, I thought, even if he was a late baby, which he was a later baby, I was like, he's a lot older than me. And I'll just tell you now, Dan and I have 18 years age difference, and I don't necessarily recommend it, but when God leads, it's not a problem. But I was like, whoa. And I had a friend that had a 15-year age difference with her and her husband, and I called her after I went home from work that day. I was in tears going home because I didn't know how to handle this. And I called her and I said, Alexander, I think the Lord wants me to marry this man, but there's a large age difference. And she said something about, if the Lord is leading, it'll be okay. Whew. I was okay. And I could move on with life. And I didn't do a lot about it or anything like that. And I went back to work, and I'm working along, and in August, he comes in and comes to my line again. We're not having conversations at this point. You know what I mean? He's just coming through my grocery line. And I see him, and he has a young girl with him. And I was like, is he married? Does he have a girlfriend? Because how many men, and like, I don't know if you were about 35 or 30, no, you had to be a little older than that then. Anyways, I was thinking, you know, anyways, and so I thought, I thought I was all wrong about my ideas. And sometimes we are. Sometimes we have thoughts, and they're just not right. And so I just dropped the idea that I was supposed to marry him, and I went on with life. Moved away, and I didn't forget him completely. I remember one time I was supposed to preach, and I remembered him talking to me on the sidewalk. But he was just there, way in the back of the mind. And then one day in 2008, we're talking like 8 years almost later, I was in Marion Springs, and I was at a friend's house. And we're talking, and she's like, Rose, you should get to know Dan. I said, Dan who? And she said, Dan Augsburger. And I looked up, and I was like, I knew it was the same man. And I said, isn't he a lot older than me? And she's like, or something like that. And I said, how old do you think he is? And she was a little older than me. Her husband a little older than her, and Dan's a little older than him. And anyways, and she's like, 52. And I said, my mom's 52. And I was just like, I'm not sure about this. And so I was praying later that day, because this is coming back to the surface. And I was like, not sure what would we ever talk about, you know, and everything. And so I'm praying, and I said something about, Lord, if it's your will, I'm willing, something like that. And time went on. My friend, I thought she might talk to him about me or anything. No. And so I go on, and I'm Bible working down in North Carolina, halfway across the state or something. And there's different people that have crossed my path in the meantime, you know. And the Lord, I'll tell you, it was like slam the door shut. It's like someone come into my life and start to get to know me. Bam! It's like the Lord was like, I mean, they like if men started talking to me, they often were just like, they'd cut off the conversation, and you know what I mean, like, and not call anymore or something. And so it was almost like the Lord was just telling people, no, she's not for you, you know. And life went on. And so I actually, at one point when I'm out Bible working, I really loved what I did, and I was just. Coming to the place of, I don't want to pursue anything or whatever. And one day at church, I was having this time of surrender as the person was speaking. I was having my own sermon in my head. And I stood up at the end of it because it was appropriate for me. But it was like, I'm not doing anything anymore. Lord, you can have someone at like Sabbath lunch, you know, say, you should get to know Rose, but I just kind of dropped it. And I just was enjoying serving. And then some time went by. My grandfather had some strokes, smaller strokes, I don't know what you call it. But anyways, I went over to see him in North Carolina. And when I was over there, I saw these CDs and paper covers. And they said, Dan Augsburger in big letters. And I was like, I didn't know if it was him or his dad. And I had the thought along the lines of, if you listen to these, they'll have a big impact on your life. And so when I'm driving away, I realize, I didn't listen to the CDs. I didn't ask to borrow them. I went back and I said, can I borrow these CDs? Oh, sure. And so as I'm driving just a little tiny ways, I put in the CD and he talks about the No Limit Christian. And I was like, I said out loud, I was like, I could marry this man. And then I'm driving down the road and listening to another sermon, and he was talking about going through a breakup and how difficult it was and about dying to self. And I ended up speaking to the CD player. I said, that's because you're supposed to marry me. And I was just deeply convicted. But this is the thing, is that this wasn't a crush. This was a growing conviction. God just kept bringing things forward. But I really was appreciating what he was sharing, and he shared a lot on practical Christianity, and so I really value that as a Bible worker, because I think people need more of that. And so I had this desire to support him. Like, this deep desire started to grow in me to support him in ministry, and I thought, I didn't have a lot of money, and so I was like, maybe I should send him like $5 or something. And then it was like the Lord was putting in my heart that I was not to put myself in his path, that if something happened, it was not going to be because I did it, you know? And so I just dropped that idea and everything, and then they were bringing my time to a close at the place where I was serving, and I didn't feel like my work was done there yet, but that's what was happening. And so I was actually heading up to Michigan, and I was going to be up with some family and stuff. And so, you could be tempted to, you know, like put yourself in someone's path, I suppose. But I was thinking about going and like maybe trying to work in the Andrews area and stuff. But the Lord opened enough of a door that I realized that he was opening the door for me to go back to where I was serving. Now, I was going to be taking a big pay cut, and I didn't make a lot of money to begin with. But the door was clear that God was opening enough that I needed to go back and try and work with the people there. So I headed back, and I downloaded a bunch of sermons off of the website that he had. And I started listening to more sermons, and I was appreciating it. At some point, he gave an opportunity for people to pray, and I paused it, and I knelt down in my little trailer, and I prayed, Lord, I don't know if you want me to be married, but if you want me to be married, please let me marry Dan Augsburger. That was specific. I got up, and I said, if the Lord answers that, that's really big. And then I was listening more, and he talked about getting to know, he talked about how he was on a trip and he really wanted to see somebody, and I interpreted that as he was maybe interested in somebody and maybe he wasn't even in a relationship by this time or something. And so I got down on my knees again and I prayed, Lord, I don't know if you want me to be married, but if you want me to be married, if not Dan Augsburger, then someone like Dan Augsburger. And I got off my knees, and so now it was surrendered again. And so in the meantime, a friend, I don't remember everything, because somewhere in there, a friend of mine was at a Sabbath lunch and encouraged someone to contact me. And so they had been, I think, in touch with me prior to some of this part of the story, but then had stopped talking, and then sometime after this, I had prayed again, but I was praying about this other, actually I've prayed about two people. And I knelt down and I said, somebody, if you want one of them to be back in touch, you know, work it out or something. And so within maybe not even probably 72 hours, this one of the people called me that hadn't, you know, been in touch. And so I thought maybe God was leading. But God was leading, but I think for a different purpose. That's something we need to understand, is sometimes things look like God might be leading in one way, but he's really actually leading in another way, but it's still for our good, you know? And so we started to talk just on occasions, you know? And then time was passing, and I'm trying to remember. Okay, so time was passing, and I was praying about that friendship, but it was just a very slow growing friendship. And one day when I was at the library looking at some things online and stuff, and I was on Facebook, Dan came up as a potential friend. And I remember, though, that I was not to put myself in his path. And so I didn't send a friend request or anything. And as I was leaving the library that day, I said, but Lord, you can have him ask me to be like friends on Facebook or whatever. Anyways, and so I went out the door and life went on, and some more time passed, not much from that time. And one day I was having, so some more time passed, and I was talking with this one person on Tuesday night, and we had a good conversation, and afterwards, I hadn't talked with him in a while, but the Lord was like kind of growing me in my own journey in between these phone calls and stuff. And so that night when I was going to sleep, I said something about, Lord, I'm excited about what you're going to do in my life between this phone call and the next phone call. And so that coming Sunday, I was talking with a girlfriend of mine. Unbeknown to me, Dan had put out a newsletter, maybe on Sabbath or Sunday morning or something, and she had read it. And she was talking about wanting to know God's will. And she said, Dan Augsburger says da-da-da-da-da. And I said, well, Dan Augsburger also says da-da-da-da. And we were really talking about what George Mueller says. And so in the course of that conversation, she knows nothing about my prayers, nothing about my interest in Dan. She's in California, and I was like in North Carolina, and she says something about, I don't know if Dan will ever get remarried. And I was like, you know, and so suddenly I realized maybe he is available. And I knew I needed to pray. And so after that conversation, I first prayed and I said something about, Lord, make me willing, or I'm willing to know your will about this other person. And then I knelt down and I said something about, Lord, it sounds like Dan might not be in a relationship. Your will be done. So I got up from that prayer and I almost forgot that prayer because it seemed so far out there. And I went on and went through the week, and on Friday night, I was just having this sweet time of surrender with the Lord. As Sabbath morning, as I'm going to church, I'm singing, I'll go where you want me to go, I'll do what you want me to do. And I was praying about this other person, and I was willing to marry this other person if the Lord made that clear. And I said something about, but if it's not your will, take it away. And then I said, but if you would do it quickly. And I went on to church, and then I went to the nursing home later, and I came out, and there was voicemail, text message. It was a girlfriend of mine. Her name is Rachel. And she said, Rose, you'll never guess whose house I'm at. Dan Augsburger. You two are perfect for each other. Now, Dan, he was an executive recruiter at a different point in his life. And he, do you want to come up? And so this was not matching his thinking.
Yeah, I've when I was in executive search, I interviewed several thousand people, and very carefully. And this woman out of the blue says, you know, you need to know Rose. The two of you were made for each other. And I said, how do you know that? She says, I just knew. I said, you don't know me from Adam. That's not true. But she was one of these individuals who refused to take no for an answer. And so finally, to placate her, you know, to just kind of move on, I said, okay, I will communicate with her. And she quickly hops up from the table, I don't know what it's about, and leaves. And after the fact, I discover she's telling Rose immediately that
leaving messages.
She's at my house. And guess who she met and how we're perfect for each other. And frankly, my attitude was, she's one of several thousand friends on Facebook. You know, I will, you know, tell her, you know, make a friend out of her and tell her, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. Your friend insisted I write you. And my challenge was to how to nicely tell her this wasn't going anywhere. That was how I felt about it.
So in the meantime, my friend leaves this message, and I'm now in the car just crying. The person that's getting in their vehicle, are you okay? I'm okay. But I was crying because now I was like, oh, I was in a friendship, kind of, not a relationship. And then I was like, is the Lord leading? Because I was thinking maybe the Lord's really leading with Dan. And so I crying about things. I go to try and find my pastor, and his answer tends to be pray, you know, which is good, good counsel. And so I keep praying. And so on Sunday, I call my friend. And I told her, you can let him contact me or something like that, or he can get in touch or something. And Dan chose not to call. A lot of people would call, but Dan decided to send this Facebook friend request, which he didn't know was an answer to my prayer. But
And it was because I have seen so many gals get heartbroken over an interest shown that later doesn't go anywhere. So I didn't want her to ever accuse me of playing with her feelings.
Yes.
So I said, a Facebook request is as innocuous, as you know, as gentle as possible, that she could not possibly misunderstand.
Yeah, and he was very clear. He said something about, your friend Rachel is very insistent we should get to know each other. I don't know where this will lead, but I could always use more godly friends. And that is all, like, he kept it very, like, this is what I'm doing in ministry, and I'd say, share with him, this is what I'm doing in ministry. And that's kind of how our writing was for quite a long time.
I would suggest she read The Reformed Pastor by Baxter and other people.
Yeah.
You know, very romantic books. But anyway.
Yeah, it was very neutral, and it wasn't like, oh, you know, anything about marriage. Not really. Anyways, and so we just wrote from like April, pretty early in April, and so this is really funny. He sends out this newsletter about, are you serious when you pray about marriage, basically. I mean, it's very, very much about marriage. And within days, he's having this girl that comes over and tells him that you need to get to know this girl. And so we just write for a long time. And so that started like in April, and no phone calls all the way until just after Thanksgiving. And around Thanksgiving, I was going up to see family in Michigan. I let him know that I was coming to Michigan, and he went silent. He was not looking to get married, by the way. And so he went silent, but he was trying to decide, I guess, about some stuff or whatever. And so I finally, once I was in Michigan, I just let him know that my itinerary did. I let him know I'd be in Battle Creek, and then I was coming to help a friend in Berrien Springs, and then I was, anyways. And so then he wrote back right away, and he said, while you're in town, you must come over.
Now, you must understand that I had been taking care of my mom pretty much by myself with some help. And every bite she took, I fed her and everything else. So for me to suddenly get free to go visit her was really hard. And when she said she was coming to town, I said, this is wonderful. She can conceive my real life. She'll probably say, I don't need that. And she'll move on, and my problem will be taken care of.
So I come to the door. No phone calls all the way up to this point. Not a phone call. And I come to the door, and he likes to share.
And I look out the door. And truly, I felt like it was wrong of me not to invite her. The least I could do, if the Lord might be leading, was to get to know her in person. And I look out the door, and she's dressed in a long dress with something that's, you know, zipped up right to here, button right up to here. She has her school marm glasses, her hair in a bun. And I think, this is intriguing. She's not trying to attract me by the wiles of the flesh. You know, this is interesting. Truly, I was fascinated by this. This was a plus in Dan's mind. By the way, I'd been already proposed to several times by ladies, okay? And I'd always said, you know, I'm flattered, but you must be in love with Jesus or something, because I don't think, no, No, but Rose was intriguing. She was different. She was different from everyone else.
So even though I, even though he wasn't really like looking at the moment, he did take it seriously enough that I can tell you now he was wearing some of his favorite clothes because he wanted to do it nicely. Anyways, so we had a nice visit with his mom, and he fed his mom and had his arm around his mom and was twirling her wedding band and just talking with me. And basically, there was something that night that you appreciated, though.
Yeah, I asked her if she knew about Hudson Taylor. We discussed Hudson Taylor because I was teaching the history of famous Christians at the seminary. And she knew about Hudson Taylor, and I thought, this is someone that might be interesting to talk with, too. So
yeah.
That was a plus.
And so when I was leaving, he said something about, while you're in town, I might like to have you back over. And so
I felt I needed time to pray and perhaps have her back a second time.
And so he did call me, and I came back over. And I we had a nice visit, but it was mostly he asked me, he was wondering, you know, how I was doing, I think, financially as a Bible worker. And so I was sharing lots of stories about testimonies of how God had taken care of me and answers to prayer. And so he had put together some materials for me, and he went to go get those, and it was sweet. His mom said something about Danny's my best friend and stuff. And so she really loved her son. And when he came back, actually before that, there was something, he was surprised I had read something, and he became more friendly, I guess, in the sense that he was just a little bit more like the wall was coming down or something. And so we had a little bit more conversation. I was running late to go help a friend, and so I really needed to go, and he got me the materials he wanted to give me, and he handed me, and I could tell that he handed me a CD and a paper cover, and I could tell there was something more there, and I thought it was like a note maybe he put in or something. And so I left, and I was really leaving because I was going to be heading soon back to North Carolina, and I didn't even look at that. I ran and did what I was needing to do. And the next morning, I'm praying, and I'm saying about, Lord, you know, I need some money for something with the car. And I hadn't looked at these things yet. And then I wanted to pray before I looked at them. And so then I went and I sat down, and I turned over this CD, and he had put $150 in there. And I said, my Boaz. He would have done that for anybody, really, that he was wanting to just help, you know, and stuff. But it did touch my heart and everything. But then back to North Carolina and back to writing each other for my birthday in December, he did call and said he wished me the happiest year of my life, and he had no clue. But I think it was really happy for him, too.
When she left, I really hadn't decided I wanted to get married or married to her at all.
No.
But I realized if I were to marry, it would be someone like her. That's what the visit did for me.
Yeah. So, but he didn't feel he had any permission from the Lord to go forward. And so he didn't feel like the Lord wanted him to stop getting to know me, but he didn't feel like he could go forward. And so he just kind of stayed at that spot.
No, I was concerned about the age difference. I did not feel like I should justify something that Ellen White actually counsels against. Though there are exceptions. If you know much about her history and some people, you know that there were exceptions. But what was it for me to say I'm an exception? So I was being very, very cautious.
So at one point in there, after my birthday, he waited like 3 weeks to write me back. And I was like, did I offend him? And so I thought, I at least want to know if everything's okay, and we can stop writing if he doesn't want to write anymore. And so I sent him an email. He's like, no, I don't get easily offended. And we were back to writing. And he was going on a trip to India. And at this point, I'm praying, because now I've spent some time with him in person, and I don't want to get to know him indefinitely if this is not going to go forward. And so I'm praying about what to do, and I'm thinking, maybe I should ask his intentions, you know, are they any different than just friendship at this point or what? And so others, I counsel with people, and they say, oh, you can ask his intentions. But like one of the people, my grandfather, I asked and stuff. And so I'm praying a lot while he's in India. And Then he was going to go up to Canada, and he just had a few days at home, and I thought, this isn't the right time to ask him about this. And so while he was in Canada, I was praying at a certain point, and I was reading the story of Isaac and Rebecca. And I came to the spot about Eliezer remained silent to see if God was leading. And it's, I don't know if an angel or the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, that's what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And so I went home that night, and I knew I needed to pray. And so it was very short, and I was praying, and I'd been having this impression. There was an impression that was going in my mind from about September, and this was now March, probably. And I prayed, and the impression was, you know the story, but he doesn't know the story. You know the story, but he doesn't know the story. And I would say things like, Lord, you could have someone in India tell him that you need to get to know Rose. And because I felt like no girl should just go and tell this man this story, because it seemed like that was really forward and didn't seem that the right thing to do. And so I went home that night and I prayed and I said something about, it was a time of surrender. I was like, Lord, if you want me to tell him the story, I'm willing to tell him the story. And that meant making myself very vulnerable and telling him, I looked up at you, you know, I thought I'm going to marry you someday, things like that. So I got up for my prayer, but I had peace. And I walked away from that spot, and I said something about, Lord, I don't know how you're going to let me know you want me to tell him the story. So I went to church that Sabbath, and I saw an older woman, and I thought about counseling with her and her husband. I went over to her house that Sabbath afternoon, and I shared with her about the story and was asking her counsel, and I was saying I was wanting to ask his intentions. And suddenly she said, this is what I think you should do. I think you should write him, basically, and tell him about some of the prayers you've prayed and how God has answered those prayers and how you believe God is leading. And I said, you mean tell him that I believe I'm supposed to marry him? And she said, pretty much yes. I was like, oh, okay. You know, but I'll tell you, I had more peace about that than asking his intentions. And so I just had this peace that this made sense, because he could now hear the story, he could know for himself, and he could decide whether or not God was leading, and life could move on. Either we could go forward and get married, or we could just stop interacting, basically. And so she told me to pray about how to write it. And so I went home and I wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote. And then I was praying about it, and the Lord gave me it kind of in bullets. And it looks like an answer to an essay question if you were to read it. Basically, it said, I want to do God's will. You want to do God's will. This is how I believe to recognize God's will. 4 bullet points. And then I said, I want to share with you some prayers that I've prayed in regard to over the years. At this point, we'd only been writing for about a year. And I shared that, and then I had 10 points about things I'd prayed about and how God had answered. And maybe there was maybe one or so that didn't have an answer yet. Anyways, and so then I said something about, my brain. I believe God has called me to walk by your side. I don't know the when. If you don't see it, please just let me know. Sincerely, Rosemary Parker. And I prayed, and I sent this off, and it was kind of late at night. And I sent it off, went back to where I was staying, and I went back and fell asleep without difficulty. I had peace, which was amazing.
You must understand. Go ahead.
Sorry. I'll admit, after I sent it, I said, I just proposed to him. And keep in mind, when he gets this email, up until now, as far as he's concerned, he's just been writing a general thing to a person, and she came over for two visits.
I have to tell you that she had not given me even the slightest hint as to what had been going on in her heart and in her life. And when she sent this to me, I almost fell off the chair. I have to admit, I was not expecting this at all. But the fact that she hadn't been scheming, that she hadn't been trying to figure a way to get into my life, just testified tremendously about who she was as an individual. And so I literally, you know, I read it multiple times to make sure I was reading it correctly, and I was. And I wrote it right back and said, keep believing, God is leading. I need to pray. And that was what I began doing. Because her, it's interesting, she wrote this thing the way you'd send in a paper or something. You know, it was maybe a page and a quarter, you know, printed out. So it wasn't very much. Had she written me 10 pages, I would not have been impressed probably. But the way she did it was really impressive to me. It wasn't like she was begging me, you know, don't you think you could love me or whatever. It was just strictly, this is how to know God's will, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. And here's how God's answered prayers. And I could not ignore what I was reading. And I was reminded of this newsletter I sent out, which was, are you serious when you pray? When you pray and God seems to answer a certain way, do you have the courage to follow his leading, which is what we're going to talk about tomorrow? And I thought to myself, if I refuse to recognize what God is doing, then I need to stop talking. I need to stop having my ministry because I have to follow what I share with other people. So that was a huge factor. I mean, this is really what I say is not being put on the line. And secondly, you know, I had two questions. One, is she honest? And I can tell you she's one of the most honest people I've ever met. And two, you know, is God leading? And I was pretty convinced about the honesty part based on what I had observed and seemed like God was leading. And I didn't want her to someday say to God, God, I was willing, but Dan refused. I said, I'm not going to be responsible for that prayer not being answered. So I said, God, this is out of my comfort zone, but I will go forward to see what leads. And so I told Rose, I wrote her back and said, we need to talk.
Yeah, so he wrote me on a Monday. I mean, yeah, well, I got it on Monday. This is a sweet part in the story. He sent it off on Sunday, but I got the message on Monday. And as I'm driving into town on Monday morning, I was listening to a song, and it said something about who's going to come and walk with me on my journey home? Who's going to sing sweet hymns with me on my journey home? Who's going to come and pray with me on my journey home? So I hear this song, and then I go in, and I get this email, and he's basically saying, it sounds like more than coincidence, we need to talk. And we talked that night. He didn't call on Tuesday, then he called on Wednesday, and he said, but the first one I told him the big story, and I was just straightforward, and then he said something at the end of it about, you might get the answer to your prayer, or something like that, maybe you'll get the answer to your prayer. And so then on Tuesday night, we talked some more, no, Wednesday night, you're right, Wednesday night we talked some more, and then we talked every night the rest of that week, and then probably Sabbath some off and on. And then he was on Sabbath morning reading some stuff.
Well, let me share a few things. I had been completely unaware all this time. Rose had listened to me. She learned about me, but this was like a whole new discovery process. And the more I learned, the more I said, there's a match here. She had grown up in a military family. My daughters had both married men in the military. She had lived in many places. She'd grown up in Germany. I'm a dual citizen. I'm a Swiss citizen. I've spent several years in Europe, and that was wonderful. She had an interest in ministry. She was open to travel. She was very convicted about following the Adventist Church. She was a conservative Adventist like myself, and it's like, this is pretty amazing, and she's not threatened or dissuaded by my itinerant lifestyle where, you know, I get up and I go and I'm gone for several weeks. As far as she was concerned, that's just what she wanted to do. So I could not ignore what I was hearing. But she didn't mention this, but she'd only briefly dated a guy when she was 19 and then decided she would not date anyone else until it was the one she was going to marry.
Like being an official kind of relationship.
Yeah. And I thought to myself, God, why me? I've been married, I'm divorced, I've been close to marrying a couple of other times, why me? And it's like the Lord led me to Ezekiel 18. And the message from God was, look forward, don't look back. I said, okay, God. But there was still another problem, that was the age difference. And like I said, I could not justify something for me that you know, I didn't feel was right for someone else. So Sabbath morning, I'm actually doing some research for friends in India in something completely unrelated to our relationship. And lo and behold, I run into a letter being communicated between Ellen White and maybe G.I. Butler or Stephen Haskell. And the question is, you know, I'm And actually, in Haskell's case, when he was first married, he was married to someone maybe 20-plus years older than him, okay? Many, many years older, and they actually had a productive, blessed marriage. But now the question is, you know, there's someone who's 23 years younger, I think it was, and, you know, is it okay? And she wrote back and said, you know, if you marry someone your age, you'll end up taking care of the person, but if you marry someone younger, you have many more years to have ministry. If she's willing, don't hesitate. And I said, thank you, Lord. That was a specific answer at the right time, okay? Do you catch that? This is not just random. This is very specific, timely answers to prayer. And I told Rose, I need to talk to your mom. And so I ended up talking to her on Sunday.
So what basically took me about 12 years, you know, took him about a week once he saw how God was, he just was seeing it very clearly. And so, maybe 2 weeks. Anyways, and so.
Let me say one other thing. It would not have worked any other way.
Yeah.
Had I not known that God was leading, I would have never felt it was right for me to try and pursue and start something. Did you hear me? And so God had to do something which for Rose is completely out of character with her. But it was because she was willing to be obedient to God that God worked his way in our relationship.
So Sunday he called my mom and he asked her about...
Her first question to me was, what are your expectations? I said, marriage, how soon? By the end of the summer.
What are your intentions,
Now, that's pretty quick. I'd been single by that time for 20 years or more, okay? Careful, only to marry the right person, but within days, I'm ready. But please understand, there was this entire history of a very godly woman who was praying, and I didn't feel like I needed to second guess what God was doing. And so I was very clear, marriage by the end of the summer, and she said that was fine. She shared more reasons why Rose was even more suited for what I was doing. And so I got off the phone thinking, how am I going to go a few minutes beyond? Is that okay? Are we in trouble?
Okay.
You don't want us to, okay.
Okay,
okay. Thank you. We've been looking at the clock. But anyway, I got off the phone thinking about, how am I going to let Rose know?
And so he, we talked together, but he doesn't say anything about it and stuff. But I did know he was going to call my mom, and I forewarned her. And so after my conversation with him on Sunday evening, I called my mom because she was living in Hawaii and time difference and stuff. And so I called her, and she said right away that she'd called my sister, and she'd called an aunt of mine, and she told them Rose is getting married. And so... But it was amazing because, again, it was late at night, and I went to bed, and I could go to sleep, and it wasn't difficult because there was peace. And let me just, I'm going to interject this here. At one point when I was getting to know that other person, I'd been listening to things that Dan had shared, but I wasn't even at the point of writing Dan. But as I was listening, I mean, as I'd gotten off the phone one night with that other person, and that night I was restless. I just couldn't sleep. I turned back and forth, wake up, etc. So I actually put my computer on the playlist. And in the night I was waking up and I was hearing Dan Augsburger preaching. And I would be like, oh, and I'd go back to sleep. And so the Lord was just bringing peace with this man. So go ahead.
So we talked a little bit. We'd only spent, you know, a couple of days. So I said, I really need to go down and spend time with her. You know, to know a little bit more about her in person, so I flew down.
No. Sorry. We need to back up a little bit. He had some trips and some things going on, and
that's right. And so
one day we talked, and he was getting ready to go to the Solomon Islands, and he wanted to send out a newsletter, and I didn't know this. He said, I want to send out an email to a few family and friends. We'd already gotten off the phone. I thought he was going to be heading out, and he calls, and I get off the phone with someone else, and take his call, and he says something about, now the funny part is we already had a wedding date planned at this point. He hadn't officially asked me to marry him. But and he had not come down in person. We'd only had a total of maybe 9 hours in person or something. I don't know, not even that, maybe. Anyways, and so I take the call from him, and he says something about, he wanted to send out an email to a few friends and family, letting them know that he's planning to get married. And so he said, you will marry me, won't you? And I said, yes, is this official? And he said, I still wanted to ask you in person. And so I got off, we prayed, and I got off the phone. He had to get going and send off his emails. And then I'm talking on the phone, and the phone beeps, and it's a girl, it's my girlfriend in California that I, you know, and I was like, did he put it on Facebook? And then I didn't answer that call, and then the phone starts beeping again, and it's my grandfather. The last he knew, I was asking Dan his intentions, and I hadn't filled in my grandpa. Everything had happened so quickly, and so busy. Anyways, and so my grandfather, he calls, and he's like, well, and I knew by this time that Dan had sent it as a newsletter and went out to like 1,500 people or something.
Yeah, just a few friends and family.
And so things went forward. We actually moved up the wedding date. Mm-hmm. And
I chose to visit.
He did come down.
And it's interesting. I wish I witnessed for Jesus the way I did about what was going on in my life, because no one was spared. You know, they all had to hear my testimony of what God had done in my life, because I was just so overwhelmed and amazed. And we hadn't really spent much time, and so I arrive in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm walking down the gangplank saying, I'm going to see my wife soon. You know, and so I come to the edge, and there she is at the bottom of the steps, and it's like, I'm going to be married to that lady. I know, it's an amazing situation.
Kind of surreal.
You know, I drove, and I think I probably looked to the right the whole way, luckily not hitting anything.
Just trying to figure out what I look like.
And so we went, we spent a week together, I think it was.
About 10 days, he was down in that area. And we had decided ahead of time, no kissing, no hugs, no holding hands until the wedding. Yeah. And we did hold hands twice in prayer groups before the wedding.
They insisted we do that for a picture. But I wanted the barrier as high as possible.
We wanted to be careful.
And let me tell you something. Guys, you can't put the barrier high enough. Take it from me. And you know what? I think when you wait, it allows your relationship to develop intellectually, because you often fill in the gap by becoming, you know, physically, you know, whatever. And so it's wise not to. And I think our relationship is better because we didn't do things that many people accept as normal. And I can assure you, I told her I had lots of French blood. You don't need to worry at all at the right time.
Anyway, so he came, visited, and it all worked out. Interestingly, my sister was coming down from Michigan with her family at that time. It just worked out, and we went to see my grandpa. And then he headed out again, and we planned that I was going to be up in Michigan, and so we would get our premarital counseling during that time. So I was around him for about a week, and then went back. That was in June, and then I drove up partway through July. Spent about 2.5 weeks around each other, and got married August 3.
And I have to say one more thing. Because we were going to be getting married at PMC, I'd been a good friend of Dwight Nelson. They insisted we do this inventory, prepare and enrich.
We needed to get premarital counseling, and so.
And so we scheduled that. We took the test, and I was a little concerned. And we did it with Bruce and Dorothy Hayward, who do a lot of that work. And their first words were to us, we don't have much to say. They said, you have some of the highest compatibility scores we have ever seen. You answered 160 questions, answered five different
statements,
ways from strongly disagree to strongly agree. They said you answered 83 to 86% of the questions identically.
We can't remember if it was 83 or 86, but the point is it was high, and it was encouraging.
And they said, you track everywhere. And so, for example, there's a chart with 25 boxes looking at how flexible you are and how much you want to be together. And she is in the box that's very flexible, but very connected. And Dan is in the very same box. And they said, we have no doubt that you two of you are going to have a happy, you know, whatever the words that they use for it. And that was wonderful. It's not anything that we tried to play games with. We just honestly answered. And so it was wonderful to see how God was even bringing about the compatibility.
You know, and for us that was significant, because partly the connected and flexibility thing, because the Lord knew in the first 6 years of our marriage, we were on the road a lot, a lot. And so even now, we spend most of our day around each other. We're just in each other's vicinity and everything. And some people aren't ready to spend that much time, even though they love the person, they're not ready to spend that much time together. But the Lord made it so that we can, and that was his miracle. And I want to say one other thing is that when I was before we got married at some point, I also just really was convicted that God knew his heart, God knew my heart, and he knew how to make the best match, basically. And you can trust God's leading when he's making it clear.
We don't want to go longer, but what I can tell you is we've had an amazing relationship that has been sometimes almost honeymoon-like. We've had our growing moments. Normal people grow because there's a blending of two people with strong wills, and we're not supposed to lose our individuality, right? But you know, we've been on the road for 3 months together 98% of the time in a different bed every week, you know, speaking every night for weeks at a time almost, doing it happily. And this is a gal who, you know, when I met her, her hair was in a bun. The day of the marriage, she let her hair down and it was below her waist. And when we went on our first trip and we sleep on the floor in the Houston airport and she has all this beautiful hair on the floor, she's certified to travel. And she's been just a great companion and a partner. And I praise God. This is not about us. It's where we recognize the work of God. So that's why we speak of a God-arranged and blessed marriage. And we believe that's something that God would like to do more today. Okay?
Can I pray?
Yes.
Can I pray?
Yes.
Okay, I'll pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you care about the details in our lives. You're willing to answer specifically. You're willing to make your will very clear. And that we can trust you. You are wise. And you can see what we can't see. You know what we don't know. And loving Lord, whether it's about a companion in life or about a career or some other area that someone's praying about, I pray that you would give them the wisdom, give them the answers to prayer, make the path straight for them that they might be in your will on it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for coming out tomorrow morning for the morning part of it. We want to talk about what the Bible says on guidance, and that will be applicable to all areas of life. And then later in the afternoon, we'll talk about some of the things that we've learned that have helped us really enjoy a wonderful relationship together. Anyway, thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.